And it's been wonderful to see already in just a short amount of time the response of God working in people's lives. And, you know, sometimes very privately and sometimes very publicly. And I just want to say I'm thankful that God's working in my life. You know, one of the songs I quote often is, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." I'd hate for everybody else to get a touch of revival and me be sitting on the sidelines somewhere. So I want the Lord to do something in my life, and I already feel like He has. He stirred me in some ways that I needed to be stirred. He reminded me of some things. And I just want to, by the end of this month, folks, we want to be able to lift up holy hands before the Lord and just say, "Lord, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Lord, things are squared between me and You, and now I can take what You've done in my life, and I can turn around and be a blessing to other people's lives." And that's what it's all about, making a difference, being the difference in somebody else's life. So I started studying Psalms 19, and I said, "Well, I'm going to preach the first Sunday morning on Psalms 19. And then I kept studying it, and it kept growing, the sermon did. And I thought, "Well, I'll preach the first two Sundays on it." And then I kept studying it, it grew some more. And I said, "I think I'll be a blessing and not preach 4 hours and spread this out over a whole month and not wear out the people." But I hope it's been a help to you. And let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. And we'll begin in verse number 7, Psalm 19, verse number 7. The Bible says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the Bible, and thank you for this precious psalm. And Lord, thank you, dear God, that we've been able to just make our way through it, begin at the beginning, and then just kind of plod our way through. And Lord, the goal is to get down to verse number 14. And by the end of the month, Lord, may that be the heartbeat of our church. Lord, we want all things that we do, all things that we say, to be acceptable in your sight. And so, Lord, as we continue this series on Keys to a Clean Life, I pray, Lord, that you'll help give us some things that will really, dear Lord, help us to have some insight in what you're trying to do in our lives. And Lord, we want to be tender to that. We want to be yielded to that. We want to participate in the process. Anything that you ask, anything that you point at, anything that you bring to our attention that might, Lord, be something that is standing between us and being used to make an impact into this world, Lord, I just pray we'd be willing to just let it go and to give it up and to give it to you. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd do some sweet things this morning. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church, for standing. I appreciate it so much. Well, we are on the third sermon, Keys to a Clean Life, Keys to a Clean Life. How did David get to this place where he desired God's acceptance above anything else in his life? And I told you on the very first Sunday that I wanted you to look at the last verse. And I told you from the beginning, that's the destination. That's where we're heading. If we can, by the end of the month, get to the place where our prayer to God, our true-hearted prayer to God is this: "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer," then I think we got to a good place. And I mentioned there was two truths that David had to be willing to believe, two foundational truths that he needed to embrace if he was going to get to verse number 14. And the first one was what we preached on the first week. Everything God created, he created to bring glory to himself. Everything God created, he created to bring glory to himself. And the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And we went through all of the creation and how different aspects of the creation point us all to a creator. You can see God's fingerprints on everything. And yet the crowning jewel of God's creation, mankind, we're all often the ones that fail miserably when it comes to really giving God the glory that he deserves. So if we can just get to this point, listen, if everything God created, he created to bring glory to himself, and if we're the crowning jewel of God's creation, then we ought to bring more glory than any other aspect of God's creation. We ought to bring more glory to him. Okay, so we had to embrace that truth. Truth number two. How do we do that then? Preacher, how do I know how to bring glory to God? The Bible is God's word and tells us how to bring glory to God. And that's where we went all last week. And boy, I had a good time with that. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And if we're going to bring glory to God, what we have to do, thank you, Brother Epley, for promoting the Bible once again and pointing our folks to the Bible. And we've been doing that since the very first Sunday, and even before that, into the month of December. Back in December, we were saying, folks, decide on a plan. Here's some options. It doesn't matter what you do, but make sure you do something, because there's nothing that's going to clean us quite like spending time in this book. And so this book is absolutely necessary. The Bible contains in this portion six elements: laws, which are precepts or statutes; testimonies, which are witnessed accounts of the greatness of God, these incredible stories; statutes, which are mandates or commands; commandments, an ordinance or a law; fear, and that's what it produces in us, a moral reverence towards God; judgments, which means verdicts. God has proclaimed verdicts in the Bible. You know, he's the supreme judge. And so what's the verdict on this? And this person might say, well, it's a good thing. And this person may say it's a bad thing. And we all have opinions, but what is God's verdict on it? And whatever God pronounces as his verdict, I want to be in line with that. I want to be in agreement with that. The Bible possesses six characteristics. It's perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure, it's clean, it's true. The Bible produces six results. It converts the soul and makes wise the simple. It rejoices the heart and enlightens the eyes. It endures forever and is righteous altogether. So what happens to us as we read and study God's precious word? Think about all of these things. It's a lot to absorb, but our soul is returned or restored to its former state, converted to its original purpose. Our human simplicity is replaced with godly wisdom. Our heart is made to rejoice. Our eyes are opened so that we can see clearly. Our confidence is placed in something that will never change and is certain and trustworthy and undefiled and faithful, clean and pure and righteous altogether. As we spend time in the Word of God and feast upon its wisdom, we develop a hunger to know more about God and to grow closer to him. That's why it says, moreover, to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Bible, listen, it didn't hold that place in your life before you got saved. I mean, you know, you might have respect for it, and you may look at it and say, well, I'm sure it's a good book, but there was no desire. But once you get saved, all of a sudden, you want to get into this thing. And the more you get in it, the more hungry you get, and the more valuable it becomes, and the sweeter it becomes. And then we get to this portion of scripture. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. And so what does the Bible contain? Young people, this is good for you. This is good. It is good, and God wants to do good in your life. It's going to contain warnings. You know why? Because if you do certain things, it's going to bring serious consequences into your life, hurt into your life, devastation. Listen, folks, I feel like as a preacher, I spend half my time doing one thing and half my time doing the other. What's that? Half the time I'm standing in front of people saying, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And then you know what? Thank God a lot of people listen. Brother Epley, a lot of people listen. And because of that, they get that great reward. But, you know, some people don't. But you know what, folks? What I spend a lot of my time doing is the ones that didn't listen, it won't be long down the road, and here they come back, you know. And I'll spend my life not listen. When they come back, I don't say, "I told you so." You know, don't do that to people. You know what? That didn't do any good. But, you know, I come alongside them and say, you know what? God can still pick you up, and God can still help you, and God can still heal you. But folks, never forget, young people, there are consequences. And the Bible warns you of those consequences. Why? Why? Well, God's not making all these rules to make your life miserable. He's given you these rules to keep you from having a miserable life. And so whatever the God warns me about that's bad, I'm just going to trust him and say, well, I'm not going that way. And whatever he says is good, I'm going to pursue that. And boy, when you do that, then it helps us. Now, we got to get into what we need to cover this morning. Keys to a clean life. Think about this. Let me draw your attention to chapter 19, verse 12 through 14. Notice this. The psalmist then begins to ask some questions here. Who can understand his, what's that next word? Errors. Now, we're going to talk about three things here because the Bible mentions three things. Who can understand his errors? Then he said this to God, cleanse thou me from, what's that? Secret faults. So we got errors. Who can understand his errors? Isn't it kind of interesting the way he put it? And then he understands his secret faults because he recognizes them. He knows what those are. So he says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. And then he says this, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Now think about this. And then he says this, let them, all three of them, not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright. So if you can keep these three things from having dominion in your life, then that, in God's sight, you're upright. The three things I'm going to talk about, folks, is the biggest challenge. Okay, it's the difference between being right with the Lord and not right with the Lord. Because he said, hey, if I don't allow these things to have dominion over me, now, folks, it doesn't mean that we're going to live a perfect life. But there's a difference between having one of these things occur in your life and having them have dominion in your life. Okay, the Bible and doing right and wanting to do right does not make you sinless, but it should make you sin less, okay? And it certainly shouldn't allow these sins to have dominion in your life. So think about that. I want you to kind of think ahead. He said, listen, if I don't let them have dominion over me, then I will be in God's sight upright. No, notice else, what else? I shall be innocent from the great transgression. I'm going to get a little ahead of me, but folks, listen, think about this. Every once in a while you see somebody, Brother Epley, you've seen it, where out of the blue, you know, all of a sudden a Christian that seemed like they were doing okay and seemed like they were doing fine and seemed like that, you know, they were serving God and seemed like that God's blessing was on them and you couldn't from the outside looking in see a problem. And then all of a sudden just this unbelievable thing comes out about them and you're thinking, what happened? How could they do that? Where did that come from? That's so out of character of who they were or who we thought they were. Now, folks, listen to me. When you see something big in public come out, let me just say this. Long before that big thing happened, there were some secret things. There were some errors that they weren't dealing with. There were some secret faults that they weren't seeking cleansing from. There were some presumptuous sins that they weren't pleading to God to keep them back from. And folks, I want to help you because we're going to examine each of these. Each of these are serious. Each of these are important. And by the way, every one of these are things that nobody sees. They're not outward public things. They're inward private things. And I want to just say to each and every one of us, folks, the real battle's in here. Now, there are sins that are very public, you know. I spent 6 years doing every weekend doing inner city ministry in ghetto, inner city Chicago. I'm going to talk about sin being in your face every weekend. I mean, I've seen the drunk stagger down the street, and his sin and the consequence of it is very public, what his problem is. Okay, excuse me, but I've seen him the drug deals, and I've seen the effects of drugs. Very outward, very public, okay? Come on, some of you have gone through some of that. You know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you ought to praise God every day. Okay, and then, you know, I'm sorry. I want to just be honest. It wasn't a weekend went by I didn't see some woman on the street selling herself. Okay, so some things are very public. But I want to say this. That's not the thing that gets most people. It's not. The things that destroy, especially Christians, are not those type of things usually. And if they do get into something like that, there was a whole lot of secret things that were going on before something, the great transgression came. So let's look at it. Preacher, let's identify them. All right, what is errors? Who can understand his errors? The word errors there, if you look it up, it means sins committed in ignorance. It comes from the idea of going astray or drifting off course. Going astray or drifting off course. Now think about that. Sometimes as Christians, we really are, I think, trying to live the Christian life. And have you ever been there before where all of a sudden, you know, you felt like things are pretty right with the Lord and so I think I'm okay, and you go into church and most of the things that's preached on, you know, you're okay in, and then all of a sudden a preacher or maybe a guest preacher comes in and he hits on something and the Lord's like, I mean, you're almost shocked because it's like, oh my goodness, that's me. And it's not like you set out to do that. It's not like you set out to be that. It's just in that area of your life, you've drifted off course. And thank God for the preaching of the Bible. One of the reasons you ought to come to as many services as you possibly can is, listen, you never know what service is for you. You never know what sermon God's going to use to rescue you or help you in your life. And I've been there before where I kind of walked in feeling like I was pretty right with God and things are good. And the preacher starts preaching on something. The Holy Spirit starts hammering me. And all of a sudden I thought, oh my goodness sakes, I was doing something. Now watch this. When you first get saved, there's a lot of sins that you're probably still involved in that you don't even know sin yet. Come on. I mean, the honest truth is you haven't even been under the preaching of the Bible or read it enough or had anybody explain it enough, and something you think that you're doing that God doesn't have any problem with, and all of a sudden, boom, you either are reading through the Bible or you're doing your devotion or a preacher preaches out of a portion of Scripture and the Holy Spirit's like, all of a sudden he's knocking on your door and you're looking at something and you're like, well, what? Oh, wow, that's me. Sins of ignorance. Okay, sometimes it's that we don't know that something's wrong, but as the Bible is preached and taught, or as we read it, we discover it's wrong. And what are you going to do in that moment with that error? Okay, with that sin of ignorance? Okay, maybe, come on, Christians, we know, but we kind of have forgotten, and we drift off course in an area. And you know, I really believe that. I think the preaching of the Bible and the time you spend personally in the Word of God just does course correction in your life. Okay, I mean, that's what we do. We kind of drift off. It's not like I decided I'm going to get off in that area. I didn't even realize I was getting off in that area. But aren't you glad that God loves us enough to put it on the preacher's heart to preach on some things? And, you know, I've had people walk out and say, do you have my house bugged? And I always tell them, absolutely, yes, yeah. We send the deacons in at night, and that's what they do. And we've got listening devices. And no, honestly, we don't. But aren't you glad that God is listening? And sometimes you think, wow, we were just struggling with that this week. And here God brings a message to help us in that area of our life. Or, you know, there's no way preacher knows that's going on in my life. Well, folks, listen, I never go after anybody. I just preach the Bible. And you know what I found out? If you preach the Bible and trust the Bible and trust the Holy Spirit, He can do the work in people's hearts. Okay, it's not my job to walk around and try to micromanage your life. I just want to share the truth with you. And from the truth will come warnings. And sometimes God will come along and say whether you even realized it or not. Okay, some of you say some things. And I've got to even address this with our young people sometimes. Because sometimes you get into this slang talk. Some of you don't even know where some of them slang words come from. And what they really mean. And a lot of them have a very filthy meaning behind them. And sometimes I'll hear kids, I don't think they intended to. It's not like, hey, I'm going to start cussing here, you know. But next thing you know, they're starting to use words, and they are ignorant of what they're even saying and what those things even mean. And sometimes I hear somebody say something, and I kind of pull you off the side and said, hey, I heard this, and I don't think you even know, but, you know, and then they're, you're kidding, it means that. And hey, you know what, sins of ignorance, errors, okay, does that make sense? And then we got secret faults, folks. What does that mean? If you look at that little phrase, that secret faults comes from one word, but it means to hide by covering. To hide by covering. These are sins committed in secret. Okay, sins committed in ignorance, sins committed in secret. Then you got, and I'll expound more on all of them, but presumptuous sins. What does that mean? Whoa, that's important. It might surprise you if you study this word out, but it literally means sins committed in pride or in arrogance. Now think about that. So sometimes we get to the point, I'll cover that in a second, where we just kind of feel like, you know what, that part of the Bible really don't apply to me. Okay, we get to thinking too much of ourselves. Or hey, I do all these other things right. It isn't gonna hurt that I do one thing or I have one vice. Okay, I'm kind of above that. Maybe that's wrong for everybody else, but it's not wrong. That's just pride. Sins committed in pride. Now, I'll give you some thoughts here, okay? So, and this is gonna be a little teachy, so hang in there with me, but folks, this will help you, okay? If I can figure these three things out and apply them to my life and ask God to really search me out, Bible says that I can be upright. Because the problem isn't the outward stuff. Listen, it's not that those things aren't wrong, but the honest truth is all the outward stuff comes from inward problems. So we got to get inside. We got to get into where the errors are. We got to get into where the secret faults are. We got to get in where the presumptuous sin. What is it about our view of God or our view of ourselves that makes us think that it's okay for us to do certain things, even if it's against the Bible? And so we really have to kind of start digging in and getting like real with God on this stuff, okay? So put your seatbelt on a little bit, but we're going to get help this morning, okay? See, we're limited in our understanding of our errors. That's why the Bible says, who can understand his errors? Well, folks, if it's sins of ignorance, then I don't understand them because I'm ignorant, either that they're wrong or I'm kind of ignorant that I've drifted that far off course. So there are some sins that people commit out of ignorance. Give me a Bible illustration of that. Well, Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he prayed a prayer, folks. Now I want you to think about the prayer. Let me read Luke 23:32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Who are the they? Who are the they that crucified him? It was Roman soldiers. Okay, now I know there was a lot of other people that was involved with it, but and in a second here, we're going to talk about the Roman soldiers that are gambling at the feet of the cross. And so it says they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, then said, Jesus, Father, forgive them. Okay, so he just talked about they. So they are the them. Father, forgive them. And why did he say to forgive them? Because they, no, this is the sins of ignorance. I'm sorry, but those Roman soldiers, folks, that day, and then after that it says, and they parted his raiment, cast lots. The men who crucified Jesus that day, the Roman soldiers who nailed him to the cross and gambled for his cloak at the foot of the cross, can I just tell you this? They had no idea who he was. Come on, they were just soldiers obeying orders. To them, this was just another criminal, just another Jew that they decided done something worth dying for. I mean, they weren't invested in this. They're just doing their job, just following orders. They were ignorant of who he was, ignorant of the fact that he was innocent, and probably didn't care one way or another. Oh, that's for them to decide. Our job is just to kill him. Okay, ignorant of the false witnesses who had been paid to tell lies about him. They didn't know all this. Ignorant of the envy and jealousy of his accusers. They They were killing the Son of God, but they were ignorant of the horrible act that they were committing. You know what Jesus looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. We're talking about sins of ignorance here, okay, folks? Now, what I'm saying is this. We have to be careful, because you ever been pulled over by a policeman? Come on, everybody, come on. I just want to see who's never been pulled over by a policeman. Wow. Well, Mary, that Amish buggy only went so fast. I mean, here's a little Miss Righteous back there. I'm there. We don't even let her drive a car, do we? Is she driving a car? Oh, she's driving now. Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, all right. Well, then I respect that then, all right. I knew it would be women. All the men, I didn't see one man's hand that said, we're guilty. And if you ever, been driving around and you're not paying attention, it's not like, I'm gonna blow through this speed trap, and you get pulled over, all of a sudden you look back behind you and you're like, oh, how fast was I going? And what was the speed limit? And then they walk up and you're like, you know what you were doing? You know why? I don't know why they asked us. Do you know why we pulled you over? I don't know. You wanted my autograph, I guess. He said, yeah. And in a minute, I'm going to get your autograph, all right? And you kind of play dumb, because you really, honestly, I don't know what the speed limit was. I don't even know how fast I was going. And listen, they'll tell you, ignorance is not an excuse. Ignorance of the law. I'm sorry, you don't get off because you didn't pay attention. You didn't get off because you didn't know. Okay? And the honest truth is, folks, even though, I want to get to this in a minute, but even though these are sins of ignorance, can I say this? They're still sins. And they're still keeping us from being clean. And probably all of us still have these in our lives. And maybe we've never prayed this prayer and we should. Lord, to the best of my ability, I have gone through it and I have surveyed my life and I want to be completely clean. And I think that's where David was here. But he's like, you know what? There could be things I'm doing or things I'm saying. Come on, young people. That are sinful, and I don't even know. I'm ignorant of it. Now, folks, I think this is a good prayer. Are we serious? How clean do we really want to get this month, okay? Because we're talking about getting into a level of cleanness and uprightness before God that we can't achieve without the Holy Spirit's help in revealing things to us. That's why he asked the question, who can understand his errors? I can't. I'm ignorant of them. But there's somebody that's not ignorant of them. And you know what? Ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Maybe I need to spend more time in my Bible so that that book will shine more light and help me find out the things I need to change, Maybe I need to listen a little more closely. Maybe I need to stop getting offended when I don't understand what the preacher is. Why is he preaching against that? And instead really get in the book and look at the scriptures he's preaching on and say, well, listen, that's not really just his opinion. He's getting that from the Bible. And whether I like it or not, he's right, and the Bible's right. And maybe I didn't know, but I know now. I know now. And so, we need to start there and asking God to just say, Lord, I want to. And so much of the church, I feel a great spirit about this. And I've interacted personally with a lot of you that's telling me and giving me feedback. And I hope you're participating in it. If you just put it in neutral, there ain't nothing wrong with me, nothing I need to get right. I'll get through this first month and then we'll see about what the next month's about. You're missing the boat. And I will promise you, you're going to be so limited in your effectiveness the rest of the year in making a difference in anybody's life. Come on, we're going to get to presumptuous sins just because you are so proud that you think you're fine the way you are. And none of us is fine the way we are. And I promise you, there is probably errors. There are sins of ignorance in every one of our lives, pulpit and pew. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm preaching across to you. We're all in this together. Where we really need to go before the Lord and say, okay, where have I really kind of drifted off? Where have I gotten off track? Because what I found out is this. If you ask the Holy Spirit, and you really want him to tell you, he is not shy about taking his finger and putting it right on it. So think about that. So we're looking at errors. Number two, secret faults. We are guilty sometimes of secretly hiding our sins. And we know that they're sins. He doesn't say, who can understand them? He says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. And if we're not careful, folks, again, it's amazing how the devil can deceive us with our thinking. Okay? We can be deceived into thinking kind of these thought patterns. Okay? We're doing something, but nobody knows about it. Come on. Men, your wife don't know about it. Wives, your man don't know about it. Children, maybe mom and dad don't know about it. Come on, parents, maybe the kids don't know about it. Come on, maybe the family knows about it, but the preacher don't know about it. And if we're not careful, then the devil will sit there and tell you stuff like this. Well, if no one knows about your sin, then is it really a sin? Yeah. Yeah. And then we'll say, we'll rationalize it. Well, you know, it isn't hurting anyone else. It's not really hurting anyone else because nobody else knows about it. It really isn't anyone else's business. That's where we get proudful. Well, it's nobody else's business. Okay, it's my life and I'm not hurting anybody. It's amazing how we start protecting these secret sins. Okay, what I do in private isn't affecting anyone but me. After all, nobody knows. Isn't that a lie? After all, nobody knows. Well, I know somebody that knows. Think about that. God knows. I don't care how secret we've convinced ourselves that a certain sin is. Folks, listen to me. Let me read you some verses. Psalms 11:4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men. Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 21:2, every way of a man, careful of this, listen, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. And we can just convince ourselves that this is right when it's wrong. And this is just the way I am. And this is just how I am, and it's not that big a deal, and it's not hurting anybody else. But again, can I just stop us? We really want to be clean? I mean, really want to be clean? Because the honest truth is, in the eyes of God, we're not clean and we're not considered upright. If we are participating in secret sins, I don't care if nobody else knows about them on this earth. There's a God in heaven that sees. And are we really ultimately wanting to be right with people first or God first? And what I found out is this, it's really hard to be right with people until you're right with God. And so, you know, let's ponder that. Let's think about that. And Jeremiah 7:11, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. Even I have seen it. Say, preacher, give me a Bible illustration of a secret sin. Well, you remember the conquest of Jericho? We aren't going to go back and read the whole story, but I mean, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and then they come with a mighty hand of God across the Jordan River, and then the first obstacle is Jericho. Remember that with the walled city? Okay, and they marched around it for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, they marched seven times and shouted, and the walls came tumbling down. But wait a minute, before that happened, God gave him some instruction. He said, everything of value needs to be dedicated unto the Lord, and everything else needs to be burned with fire. I mean, study it out. That's exactly what God said. If it's gold, if it's silver, if it's of any value, you dedicate it to the house of the Lord and you burn the rest of it. Now, there's going to be other cities where they're going to be allowed to take the spoils of victory. But this was the first victory. And folks, the first fruits always go to God. So God was trying to teach him something. And so God gave this great victory and all these soldiers came in and there was a great victory and a great slaughter and Israelites. But wait a minute, there was one guy by the name of Achan. And you know what? He was part of the conquering force. And we're not given a lot of details, but he found himself in somebody's house. And he found himself by himself. Are you listening, young people? As if you can be by yourself. But he thought, I'm by myself. And he saw a Babylonian garment. It's one of the things the Bible said to burn. How many people get out of the will of God because they want to dress like the world? Babylonish garments, gold, wedges of gold and some silver. And I think he went like this. I think he went like this. I think he went like this, looked out this window. And then he started to reach for it. And I want to scream, Achan, there's one direction you didn't look. Because it doesn't matter, young people, whether mom or dad know about it, God does. Doesn't matter whether the preacher knows about it, God does. Come on, sir. Doesn't matter whether your wife knows about it or not, God does. Come on, ladies. And what we all better do, and listen, where are we trying to get to? Aren't we trying to get down to verse number 14, folks? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Okay, so all of a sudden now we're getting into some things that are going to be challenging. Look right up here. It's just easy to kind of put on the facade. It's easy to kind of put on the smile. It's easy to kind of figure out the Christian lingo a little bit and fit in. But wait a minute, if we're really going to get clean before the Lord, there's some things that we're doing that we're probably not even aware of. They're called errors, sins done in ignorance. There's some things we're doing we are aware of. But we think because nobody else sees it, that somehow the devil's convinced us God doesn't see it. Well, he does. And we're not trying to get right in everybody else's eyes. Ultimately, we got to be right in his sight. Then we get to this third one, presumptuous sins. And this is a sin that's a great danger, folks. We're always in danger of committing presumptuous sins. That's why the wording is this, verse 13, keep back thy servant. Notice, we're talking about someone that's wanting to serve the Lord. He considers himself a servant of God. But he said, keep me back also from presumptuous sins. Sins we cannot or will not see because of our pride. Now, folks, this is a danger for Christians that are growing and maybe have been saved for a while. And you know what? We have dealt with a lot of things. And we've got to the point where we're not just worshiping the Lord. We're serving the Lord. This is a servant thing, okay? And so we're doing good in this area. We've overcome this, and we've overcome this, and we've overcome this. And we get to the point where we get to feeling pretty good about ourselves. Be careful of pride. Yes. Be careful of pride. Right. And one of the things that causes this pride in our life, folks, is as we begin to grow in the Lord, and as we really begin to, I mean, we're sincere, come on. And we've overcome some things, and all of a sudden, you know, I've got a position in the church, and I'm teaching a Sunday school class, or I'm able to help out in this ministry, or I'm helping Brother Gordon with the young people, or I'm serving. And all of a sudden, it's so easy for us, look, watch this, I'll tell you where it comes from, to begin to look at people that aren't as far as we are. And all of a sudden, the devil sits on our shoulder, and all these good decisions we've made, and they're good. But we get to a point in time where we just kind of feel like, I think we got this thing. Matter of fact, I'm not saying I'm the best Christian in the church, but I'm sure not saying I'm not. And we all of a sudden start getting proud, and we start looking down at people that aren't where we're at. And all that does is make us feel even better about ourselves, because who are we comparing ourselves to? Okay, not people that are better Christians than us. And not even God. I mean, that's where we're going to get there, folks, but that's where we need to compare ourselves to. But, and watch this. Once you start in that presumptuous sin and you let pride come into your Christian life, you become very judgmental of anybody that is not at the same level you are. You say, preacher, you've given us Bible illustrations. Well, I'm going to have you turn to this one, okay? Go to John chapter 8. Let me just show you probably one of the best examples of this. Although there's many, so many times the devil can't get us with lying, and he can't get us with drugs, and he can't get us with booze, and he can't get us with immorality. But how many, Brother Epp, how many godly people have crashed and burned because of the sin of pride in their life? Yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, pride causes us to begin to defend our sin because of the good that we do. In other words, well, I do all of this, and okay, I've got this one little thing, but come on, compared to everybody else, look where I'm at. Well, that's still a sin. Whatever that is, pride will cause you to focus on the sins of others while ignoring your own sin. And in John chapter 8, wow, what a story. And if you look in verse number 1, the Bible says Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, John 8, verse 1. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Now, here's the scribes and Pharisees. Folks, they're a perfect picture of this. Okay? They were doing a lot of things right, and they were serving God in a certain capacity, but it had gone to pride in their life. And so the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him, listen to the story, this is amazing, a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, to Jesus, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? And then we see the motive of their heart. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. Now listen, folks, they weren't concerned about this woman. They weren't concerned about helping this woman. Okay, all they were concerned about is using her to try to trap Jesus into making the decision that they could later say, he compromised. He went against the law of Moses. He didn't do the right thing. But Jesus knew their heart. And it goes on to say, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. Some things aren't worthy of a response. Look at verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, what a question, folks. He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. Now, folks, when we get to the end of the story, we're going to find out Jesus is not okaying adultery. Because it's not okay. All right, we can go into the Bible and we can find out that God very specifically says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But he was trying to redirect their thinking. You are so focused on this woman's sin and this woman's shortcoming and this woman's fault. Why don't we refocus the conversation? Why don't we refocus your thinking? And why don't you look inside of you? And if any of you standing there with a stone ready to tear into this woman, if any of you can say, well, there's no sin in me, then go ahead and throw that first stone. Now, their sin may not have been her sin, but their worst sin was pride. Because see, they compared themselves to her and they felt like they were really righteous. But folks, when we compare ourselves to God, a holy God, why, preacher, are you trying to get us in the Bible? Why the whole sermon last Sunday night on developing a prayer life? Because when you get close to the Lord, and the closer you get to the Lord, let me tell you something. When you get close to that level of holiness, there's a lot of things that you couldn't see before that you begin to see in your own life. Why? Because I'm not comparing myself to others. I'm comparing myself to God. And so be careful of pride because, folks, we've got a lot of Christians, and we got a lot of mature Christians. I mean, I'm talking about people that have been saved for decades. And I'm talking about people that have taken it seriously. I'm talking about things, people that have overcome a lot of things. But sometimes that group right there, in some ways that God could never get you, he'll get you with pride. Because your sins are presumptuous sins. You think because you've been saved for 30 years, you never need to come to an altar. You think because you're doing all this good stuff that it's okay to just kind of, you know, this one bad thing isn't that bad. I mean, look at all the good I do. And the devil's sitting right on your shoulder saying, you're right. That's exactly right. You're doing so much good. You should be allowed this. And so, folks, now we're digging deep. Are you with me? I mean, okay, Lord, I want to get clean. And we're going down through here. Well, you know what? Everything was created that was created. Created to bring glory to God. Well, Lord, I want to bring glory to God. We better get into this book then because this book is God's word and it'll tell you how to bring glory to God. All right, I'm in the book. But as we get in the book, all of a sudden, the light gets a little brighter. And things that we didn't even know was wrong, all of a sudden we start becoming aware that they're wrong. And I think that there's probably not a one of us in here If you haven't really been diligent in searching in this area of your life, there's probably errors in all of us where we've either drifted some off course or we're just doing something because we really don't know and we haven't found it yet in the Bible. And so, preacher, how do I discover that? How can I even know that? You go to the one who knows. And you say, Lord, I can't even know my errors. The sins that I'm committing in ignorance, I can't even know them. But you know them. And that's where we get to Psalms 139. I'm gonna wrap it up because we're right on time. Look right up here. Don't ladies, don't put your shoes back on or fold your Bibles up. Listen to me, all right? All right. And all of a sudden in Psalms 139, we read this. One of the most important prayers you can pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. It sounds like he was just like wide open, just saying, okay, God, I can't know my errors. And some of the secret sins that I've okayed in my mind are not okay. And some of the things because of pride that I'm doing and the attitude that I have towards people, I'm blinded to that. And all of a sudden we begin to get real before God. God, listen to me. I can spend all my life talking about that person and their sin and that person and their sin and that person and their sin and that person and this sin. And we can gather here at the church and look at the culture and just shake our heads and say, how in the world do we get in this mess? But if we're not careful, all that does is just kind of build us up. And next thing you know, the devil can use good people that have grown in the Lord and are serving God. He can get to the point where you just kind of feel like, and I don't want to go to an altar. People might think there's something wrong. Look right up here. There is something wrong. You're not Jesus. You haven't reached perfection, neither have I. And maybe during the invitation, we ought to stop glancing around and thinking about, well, they needed that or they needed that. Maybe we ought to really just take the rest of this month and say, God, I want the spotlight right here on my heart. Because, folks, the great transgression, when somebody crashes and burns, when something very public happens and they just spiritually implode, it didn't happen that day. It happened because we didn't allow the Lord to really dig deep. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. God will help you with this, and he wants to help you with it. But I think it's something that we're going to have to ask for. This is part of the psalm that honestly is a prayer to God, where the psalmist is crying out, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. We can't overcome any of this without God's help. So you let the Lord work in your life this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for the word of God. And it has a cleansing effect on us. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would be courageous enough and brave enough to pray these prayers to you. This is business that's just done between a child of God and our Heavenly Father. This is not something public, and it's not something everybody needs to know and be aware of. It really doesn't matter. What matters is not what everybody around us sees. It's what really is. In your sight, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we're kind of going through a month process here. Lord, sometimes we don't get in the mess we did overnight, and we don't get out of it overnight. It takes some time where God really digs deep and works. And Lord, thank you for being patient with us and loving with us. Because, Lord, we're your children, and you never forget that. And just like each of us as parents, if we saw some things in our kids that weren't right, and they really came to us and wanted help, we wouldn't turn them away. And Lord, we're sinful, and you're not. So I know, God, if we'll come to you and say, Lord, I just want you to help me. I know I'm not where everything ought to be. I know there's things I'm probably blind to. I know there's things that I've rationalized in my mind is all right because nobody knows, but it's not. It's not. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to really get clean before you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.